Glad to have you with us as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. One of the things we've been talking about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast of late is Bart Ehrman and his attempt to cause people to doubt the veracity of Scripture. He, of course, is the chair of the Religious Studies Department at the prestigious University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, but suffers from simplistic, close-minded, black-white, stereotypical fundamentalism. He is now, unfortunately, receiving a wide audience in the media in general and shaking the faith of Christians, as he claims to, and I think quite correctly, and he's quite proud of it. But he does it with very simplistic reasoning that might sound good on the surface, but a little probing demonstrates that the conundrums or supposed conundrums that he raises are not problems at all. For example, an alleged contradiction that he brings up involves God's progressive revelation of all that is imbued in his name. He says in the book of Exodus, God tells Moses, I appeared to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. And then he asks, how does this square with what is found earlier in Genesis, where God does make himself known to Abram as the Lord? So did Abraham know God as Yahweh or not? Well, what Ehrman considers a problem, I'd submit as a profound and glorious truth. Because implicit in the name Yahweh is the profundity that we, as mere mortals, perceive God progressively in the performance of his promises. Abram caught a glimmer of that reality when the infinite I Am brought him from Ur of the Chaldees. For Abram, God was indeed the almighty provider and sustainer. Though the promises of God made to Abram remained largely unfulfilled, Moses experienced the glorious revelation of Yahweh, the eternal I Am that I Am, in a progressively greater and, I would say, even more intimate way, which culminates in the literally awesome exodus out of the land of Egypt. And Yahweh, the God of Israel's deliverance of his people, manifested ever more clearly his enabling power and enduring presence. As those of Ehrman's students who have grappled with Jewish law know full well, the words of the Torah are at once deceptively simple, yet deeply profound. And because of that, a wooden literalist is rendered impotent to grasp its profundities. Contra Ehrman, a subtle and sublime sophistication is at work in the Torah, and certainly with respect to the divine name. But let me make another point here quickly as we move on to your questions. I want to say this as forthrightly as I can. There's an unsettling lesson to be learned in the questions that Bart Ehrman raises ad nauseum, ad infinitum. If we harden our hearts against divine revelation, the very words of Yahweh will become to us indecipherable, a parable that can't be understood. Jesus put it this way, they may be ever seeing and never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. God's revelation, bottom line, is either an occasion to receive and be healed or reject and be hardened. No one remains unaffected. But make no mistake about it. Bart Ehrman has not uncovered some alleged inconsistencies in the Bible that other people haven't been able to find before. These are old problems regurgitated now by Professor Ehrman in the popular media. And people who are not conversant with how to read the Bible for all it's worth can easily trip over the objections he throws at their feet.